Good evening and welcome to Health Writers on the Air. I'm your host, Steve Blank. Our guest for this half hour is John Nichols, political correspondent for The Nation and associate editor of the Capital Times. He is also the co-author with Bob McChesney of the book The Death and Life of American Journalism. John will join health writer Andy Ambler and me in the studio, and our conversation will focus on WikiLeaks and the importance of maintaining government transparency for a democratic society. John Nichols, welcome to Health Writers. Now, many journalists and pundits have been debating whether the recent release of secret documents through WikiLeaks is good for democracy or somehow a danger to the United States. We've heard on-air personalities, members of Congress, and even the White House describe WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange as a terrorist, while Private Bradley Manning, the 23-year-old U.S. soldier who released the most famous secret document to WikiLeaks, has been held now for 7 months in torturous conditions at the Marine Corps brig in Quantico, Virginia. Bradley Manning, our listeners may recall, was revolted by what he saw on the secret Internet Protocol router network, which he had access to while stationed in Iraq, particularly a video showing a U.S. Army Apache helicopter in Baghdad repeatedly opening fire on a group of men that included a Reuters photographer and his driver. And then they opened fire on a van that stopped to rescue one of the wounded men. It was Bradley Manning's decision to forward that and thousands of other secret documents describing U.S. atrocities that really brought the WikiLeaks debate out into the mainstream. John Nichols, how would you frame this debate?
Ultimately, it's a constitutional debate. In this republic, in the United States of America, we have a constitution that is set up at almost every turn with an eye toward checking and balancing government, making sure that it does not take steps that are done in the name of the American people, with the resources of the American people, but without their informed consent. Now, we know from the WikiLeaks revelations that dozens, hundreds, perhaps thousands of acts, which great many Americans would disapprove of, were done in our name, but without our informed consent. So the first value of WikiLeaks is that it gives us, gives we the people, information about what's being done, what is being done in our name. But the second value is that the knowledge on the part of the powerful, on the part of those in shadowy government positions and in not so shadowy government positions, that their actions, their statements, their deeds might be revealed, might be shown to the American people. That in itself is a classic constitutional control. Now, why do I emphasize the Constitution so much? For a couple reasons. First off, when we talk about something like WikiLeaks, there is too much of a tendency to see it as a foreign intervention, something that is not of the United States. Now, it is true that Julian Assange is an Australian, now pretty much a man of the world, somebody who's lived in a number of different countries. It is also true that Julian Assange is something of a rogue, someone who plenty of folks have pointed out flaws and foibles with regard to. And this is relevant. It's certainly something we can discuss. But at the end of the day, the most important thing to understand is this. Despite the fact that Julian Assange is a foreigner, despite the fact that WikiLeaks operates off platforms outside the United States, and despite the fact that some folks may disapprove of Assange or of WikiLeaks or of the whole method of revealing information of this kind, the core concept that we, the people, ought to be conscious of is this. When our government acts in our name and with our resources, we have a right to know about that. We have a right to know exactly what our government is doing at home in the United States and also abroad. And in an era of immense secrecy, when our government tries so frequently to close off avenues of information and really to close off informed debate about what our government should be doing, we need interventions of this kind. Now, again, reasonable people may debate about whether they like or dislike, approve or disapprove of Julian Assange. Reasonable people may debate whether they like or dislike, approve or disapprove of WikiLeaks. But at the end of the day, at the critical point, what we have to focus on is the fact that we're getting information we would not otherwise have. Now, what do we do with that information? And this, to my mind, is the great crisis of our moment. It's not that there are revelations with regard to our government's actions in countries around the world, some of them absurd, like the fact that the U.S. government saw most of the British family as kind of silly people who don't seem to have much value aside from symbolism, all the way over to our clear engagement with groups that officially we label as terrorists. Huge array of information. What's troubling to me is, first and foremost, despite the fact that we've gotten all this information, some of it very significant, we've had very little public debate. Instead of having a great discourse about whether the United States government should be collaborating with the Turkish government as regards dealings with the Kurds, dealings with northern Iraq in ways that it would seem we are crossing all sorts of lines as regards our attitudes toward what we call terrorism and as regards our attitudes toward what we say is appropriate behavior on the international stage. Shouldn't we be debating that in Congress? Shouldn't we be debating all of the revelations as regards U.S. interventions around the world, particularly in Africa, where it appears the United States government has been actively engaged in trying to harm political players and governments that object to the genetic modification of food? An incredible revelation, a very, very significant one. And yet, it appears in the paper. We may hear a little bit about it on Democracy Now! or a good alternative media like WORT, but we are not getting any kind of realistic debate about it. And that's what troubles the most, I think. Instead of going after Julian Assange, instead of going after WikiLeaks with all sorts of new laws that try to shut down the avenues by which we get information, we should be having debates about the issues that have been revealed. Congressional committees should be opening up dialogues about this. And there are no excuses here. The fact of the matter is many of these issues ought to be of great interest to conservative Republicans. I mean, these are abuses of our tax dollars in ways that are absolutely absurd and inappropriate. But we don't have to wait just for conservative Republicans who control the House. The fact of the matter is that the Senate of the United States is controlled by Democrats with many liberal Democrats in charge of key committees. They could be calling these hearings today, and they should be. Also, we ought to have a much better follow-up by our media. Instead of simply revealing what WikiLeaks has found, what has been given to WikiLeaks, we ought to be having a real dialogue in this country via the media about our policies and our approaches to countries around the world. Information shouldn't exist in and of itself. In a democracy, that's a pointless reality. Information should be a tool for citizens and for our elected representatives to open up real and better debates about what our government does in our name and, at this point, without our informed consent. Now, let me add one final thing as regards WikiLeaks that I think is very, very important. I've been deeply troubled in the first weeks, especially, of the current WikiLeaks moment. Remember, WikiLeaks has been around for a long time, but it's been very much in the news with the recent set of revelations regarding the traffic in intelligence. One of the things that really troubled me a great deal was the slowness of much of our elite media in the United States to defend the basic freedom of the press principles and the basic freedom of speech principles that are involved here. The fact of the matter is, whether one likes or dislikes Assange, whether one likes or dislikes WikiLeaks, if we were to pass some of the laws that have been proposed in the Congress of the United States, mainly by conservative Republicans, but not solely by conservative Republicans, if we were to pass some of these laws, we would shut down not just WikiLeaks and Julian Assange, we would shut down the ability of our major media in the United States to give us basic information about what our government does. And this is what we really ought to be focusing on as activists, as people who are concerned about creating a real and functional democracy in the United States. we cannot have laws that penalize or that label those who reveal information about what our government does as terrorists or as threats to the republic. The fact of the matter is that we have plenty of laws on the books right now that allow for the punishment of those who create a genuine threat to the United States. We don't need new laws. And those new laws that have been proposed by folks like Peter King in the House of Representatives and Joe Lieberman in the Senate might get us into a terrible situation where even the most basic leaks from government employees who realize that something very wrong is taking place could be penalized in ways that they have never been penalized up to this point. The fact of the matter is we ought to be moving toward more openness, toward more transparency, toward more of a realization of the promise of the First Amendment, freedom of the press, freedom of speech, freedom to assemble peaceably, and freedom to petition for the redress of grievances from our government. These are core concepts of the American experiment. But we cannot petition for redress of grievances if we don't have information about what our government is doing. So this, I believe, is where we begin and hopefully focus in any discussion about WikiLeaks. It really is a discussion about whether the American people will have the information they need to check and balance their government, both directly through activism, campaigning, movements, and also through demands on their elected representatives. We shouldn't be afraid of WikiLeaks. We should be conscious that some of the players are imperfect, that even some of the ways in which revelations have been made may be imperfect. But at the core of this discussion, at the heart of this discussion, is a question, a core question of the American experiment. Do we trust the people with information? Our government too frequently answers that question, no, we don't trust the people. What WikiLeaks has done, and I think it's been a very fascinating experiment, is show that you can reveal a great deal of information to the American people without the collapse of the American government, without great threats developing around the world. And that's the reality. You can bring this information out, and it doesn't cause a crisis. In fact, the only crisis that I can see right now, or at least the most serious crisis that I can see, is that with this information, with this ability to impose serious and necessary checks and balances on how our government operates around the world, we have had so little response from our elected representatives. They shouldn't be screaming and yelling about putting those who leak information in jail or those who distribute information in jail. What they should be yelling and screaming about is what our government has done in countries around the world, in our name, with our resources, but without our informed consent.
How do you feel about the Democrats' silence on the torturous conditions of the alleged whistleblower, Bradley Manning?
Well, I think it's absolutely atrocious. Again, this goes to the core questions that we should have coming out of this. And one of them is, are we following the rule of law? When someone leaks information about what the government of the United States is doing, they may have violated a law. It's possible. And they may face punishment. In fact, if you recall Daniel Ellsberg, he was very, very blunt about the fact that he expected he would go to jail, that he might go to jail for the rest of his life because of his release of the Pentagon Papers. He was surprised when that didn't happen. And yet that didn't stop him from doing it. He felt it was a necessary and patriotic deed. Now, I don't know Bradley Manning. I haven't interviewed him. And I frankly don't know whether he is the sole source or the primary source of WikiLeaks. But what I can tell you is that if this is what he is charged with, if this is the issue, then we have laws that deal with this. He ought to be, held under reasonable conditions, and he ought to have what we guarantee in the Constitution, access to excellent legal counsel, particularly in a case of this sort, but also an immediate and rapid disposition of his case. I mean, we guarantee this in the laws of the republic. Now, why do I say it's so important that that be immediate and rapid? Because I think that there is a decent chance, I can't guarantee it, that a jury of his peers might determine that Bradley Manning did not commit a crime, or at least, as in the case of Daniel Ellsberg, that whatever has been labeled as wrongdoing was not so significant as the value of releasing information that the American people might be able to put to use. So, of course, we should be concerned about the conditions Manning is held in. We should also, though, and again, we should put it in the right context, which is that this is a debate about freedom of information, about how we get information. And the truth of the matter is that we rarely get information through, you know, sort of pristine, perfect means. By the nature of the game, leaks come from people who are in inside positions and who may get themselves in trouble for giving it to you. I mean, we should understand that and have it in some sense of perspective.
Truthnet's John Pilger published his investigation into the war on WikiLeaks and his interview with Julian Assange. In this article, he quotes Barack Obama on his campaign trail, where he says, "Government whistleblowers are a part of a healthy democracy and must be protected from reprisal." Mm-hmm. And he goes on to say, "Obama has since pursued and prosecuted more whistleblowers than any other president in American history." Can you talk about the significance of this broken Obama promise?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's one of many promises that have been broken. And so we put it into context. But it's a particularly troubling one for this reason. Barack Obama taught constitutional law before he became a member of the Senate. He's probably more informed than any president we have had, certainly in modern history, as regards the reason that we have protections for whistleblowers. And again, this comes back to these core constitutional issues, these questions of how do we make real a representative democracy if the people don't have information, right? I mean, it doesn't work. And so when Obama spoke on the campaign trail about the value of people who leak information, whistleblowers, he was speaking a core tenet of the American experiment, one that goes back all the way to Jefferson and Madison at their very best. It was the right thing to say. When he has not lived up to that commitment as president, he's broken faith, not merely with his campaign promises. I mean, campaign promises are broken all the time. But he's also broken faith with that oath he swore to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. If we really trust the Constitution as an underpinning of rule of law in this republic, we have to respect that there are going to be points where whistleblowers are necessary, valuable, and that this is not an issue of Republican or Democrat or right or left. There will be whistleblowers who offend people on the left. There will be whistleblowers who offend people on the right. The value of a whistleblower is that they give us information. We can do what we want with it. We can reject it, or we can put it into the mix in a way that maybe changes the direction of our government.
You were mentioning in your talk how reasonable people either support or oppose what WikiLeaks has done by releasing these cables and such. What do you say about the calls for his assassination that have been made?
I mean, it's madness. I mean, it is horrifying that we would suggest that someone who purveys information that perhaps some folks in the government don't like should be assassinated. Remember, so much of what we talk about as regards WikiLeaks has relevance to our domestic condition. Again, Julian Assange is Australian. WikiLeaks is headquartered offshore. And yet, if you were to pass a law that said, or if you were to authorize the assassination of someone who was distributing information that you didn't like, where do we draw the line on that? When do we stop assassinating? Is it then appropriate to assassinate newspaper editors who publish information that we don't like in foreign countries? Is it appropriate to bring these policies, these ideas back home to America? Do you start taking out radio hosts you don't like on radio shows that you don't approve of? I mean, I don't presume that the people in Congress who are talking about assassinating Julian Assange actually want to bring it home to America, that they really want, you know, that sort of terror state. Yet they clearly haven't thought enough about the ramifications of what they're saying. If they did think about it, I can't believe that any reasonable person would make such a suggestion.
You wrote on December 14th about journalists begin finally to stand up in defense of WikiLeaks and freedom of information.
Yeah.
And in that, you mentioned the watchdog group Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting has stepped up with a strong letter signed by Barbara Enrich, academic Noam Chomsky, Daniel Ellsberg, and a number of other journalists associated with The Nation, Salon, and so forth. Have you seen any other positive developments in the American media side in regards to WikiLeaks?
Yeah, I have seen some. Not enough. I mean, I would, frankly, I mean, it would seem to me that I'd like to see somebody like Keith Olbermann, you know, signing off every night saying, you know, don't forget to sign those petitions to defend the right of us, of the American people, to get information. So I think a lot of elite media has not responded as well as it should. But I have seen some positive signs. The Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting letter was a very good development, and more people have signed on to it. You can go to it and see it at fair.org on the net. A number of professors at Columbia University's Graduate School of Journalism signed a letter saying that they opposed any sort of aggressive prosecution of the folks involved with WikiLeaks, and basically offering a reasoned defense. And there have been other statements and defenses. One of the interesting things that sort of fascinates me is that some of the folks who have been quickest to stand up have been real old school journalists. You know, not the kind of the folks we might expect to be out there. You know, kind of our contemporary liberal journalists, but old school, follow the rules journalists who are, I think, conscious of the ramifications of any sort of attack on someone who spreads information that you don't like. So there, I've seen some signs, and here we're having this dialogue. This is good. We ought to keep talking about it, and the more we do, the better.
Can you comment on the fact that Representative Ron Paul is the only member of Congress to defend WikiLeaks?
I sure can. I wrote about it. Look, I think it is remarkable that Ron Paul, a libertarian Republican, who I can safely say I agree with about half the time and passionately disagree with the other half, is the most outspoken defender of WikiLeaks. And I think there's two things that are really important in that. Number one, his rationale for defending it is exactly on target, that the American people have a right to know what their government does, particularly overseas. And Paul, of course, I think it's probably fair to say something of an isolationist. He preferred the United States wasn't overly involved abroad. I don't necessarily agree with all of his views on that. But, you know, frankly, you know, part of that goes to the idea that we shouldn't be doing bad things abroad. And that's what he's saying. And we ought to know when we are. So I was quite impressed with his statement on it. I thought it was good. But here's the most relevant thing, I think, about his statement. And that is that he made it, and there's no effort to recall him or remove him from Congress. He has not been kicked off his committee assignments or, you know, read out of the Washington Club. He survived. He's functioning. He's doing fine. In fact, he's actually taking over a relatively key committee that oversees the Federal Reserve subcommittee. And I think this is a real lesson for Democrats, for liberal Democrats and supposed progressives. You know, why aren't they speaking up? What's the threat? What's the danger of taking this core constitutionally based stance and saying, yeah, I mean, we may not like this guy. We may not like how he does it, but who cares? We're getting some core information that does not pose a threat to the country, that actually, I think, at core empowers the American people to get into the debate and act with knowledge on issues. So, you know, three cheers for Ron Paul, or at least maybe 2.5 cheers for Ron Paul. And I would, you know, if I could add just one thing, and this is a separate turf from Ron Paul. You know, we're talking on Health Writers. And, you know, Health Writers has done such a great job of talking about issues as regards the health and safety of our food. And one of the really underplayed revelations in all the WikiLeaks has been the fact that the United States government had a very aggressive policy of going after foreign governments that questioned the use of genetically modified foods. that raised debates about this. And so here we have a situation where what we're learning for the first time officially is that our United States government has been one of the leading proponents internationally of the corporate-driven push to genetically alter, genetically modify our food. Now, somebody may be in favor of GM food, and that's fair. I don't happen to be, but somebody might be. But whether you're in favor of it or against it, shouldn't we know that a part of our federal government policy is to pressure, even threaten foreign governments that take different stands from us as regards food safety? I mean, that's a pretty big deal, and it's exactly the sort of thing that the American people ought to know about. Then we could take a stand. We could say, "Yeah, great, go for it. Go tell the French that they should take genetically modified food or whatever you want to say, or go tell some poor little African country that it's got to shift its whole food policy to make Monsanto happy, if that's what the American people want." But my gut instinct tells me that the American people would probably say that's a pretty dumb idea, and we can only do that if we have the information. And it's a simple sort of nugget, an easy way to understand the value of WikiLeaks.
I'd like to thank you for joining us today.
It's a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure having you here.
The best days are not planned by common sense, by lack of time. You just happen to be where everything feels fine. It's a new secret I have found. It's a new secret I have found. It's a new secret I have found.
Well, as I said in tonight's intro, there's been a lot of vitriol on the mainstream corporate media about WikiLeaks, but there has been some excellent coverage in the alternative press. Madison's Matt Rothschild makes excellent points both in the Progressive magazine and on his blog. Democracy Now! Has interviewed Daniel Ellsberg about Bradley Manning. And I also want to direct our listeners to a very well-produced documentary film called Wiki Rebels that you can watch as a series of YouTube videos. Go to YouTube and do a YouTube search for Wiki Rebels. It's a four-part series that in total is just under an hour in length. Well, that wraps it up for this week's Health Writers. You can visit our website at healthwriters.wordpress.com. I want to thank our engineer this evening. Tune into Health Writers again in 2 weeks. Good night.